Log Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
I love my sister.
Shalom, blessed be our Almighty Yah, His praises shall continually be in our mouths. Greetings, diaspora, bless you all, scattered and set apart, women of Yah. Thank you so much for another moment of your time. I am your host tonight, Sister Ashley Bell. If you hear me, can you give me a 10, please? If you keep the commandments, give me a 7. And let's jump to Mother Jennifer. If you hear her clearly, please give me a 100. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. Blessings to you, Sister Ashley, and blessings to you all, Daughters of Zion. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. Sister Ashley, thank you so much for allowing me to be on here with you. And I pray everyone can hear me. I can hear you very well. And I'm still actually pulling the chat room up. But if you've got it pulled up, I think we can go ahead and move on.
Hallelujah. I got it. I got lots of communication coming in from the chat room. Thank you so much, as I said earlier, for a small moment of your time. Thank you to the set-apart women of all the earth, hallelujah, who may listen in or tune in tonight. Thank you for your support, your letters, your offerings, everything you do, all your prayers for our shepherd, Mama Jaja, Mama Monty, Mama Deidre, Mama JC, bless you. Hallelujah. So I want to thank the Father first and foremost for the signs that follow those who believe, specifically our shepherd. Our Father has given us messengers, shepherds, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of our souls, for the perfecting of the saints. And I think we realize that. It's for the work of the ministry that we've received these things, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I thank the Father so much for his ways that are not our ways. So the hope, Father, and I thank you that we will all come into the unity of the faith and be no more children tossed to and fro. That's the hope and the prayer. And I thank you, Father, for your patience and long-suffering with your people. To my master, to my head and husband, Deacon Bell, who speaks the truth in love. He doesn't walk as the Gentiles walk. He doesn't walk in the vanity of his mind. He knows his role and puts complete trust in our shepherd and complete trust in our leaders. He always has. He's never wavered. He serves Yah with great fear and trembling. He's taught me a lot. You know, he's taught me a lot about how to have patience or let patience have its perfect work, how to... he's really tamed me throughout the years, you know, as you adjust to your husband's personality. And I really admire him for that. I really appreciate that. I don't really believe I would have entered into life or would achieve the kingdom in the next life if it had not been for my husband, you know, taming me and me allowing him to be that calm presence in my life. So as my husband strives to be perfect, I strive to. And he gives love with authority, you know, as a holy, acceptable vessel for our master's use. I want to thank the most noble pastor, Dow. Thank you for your obedient ear to the voice of the Spirit of Yah. It pleases our Elohim. This is to my listening audience tonight. It pleases our Elohim by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So I thank our shepherd for being an example for initiating polygyny, for sacrificing his family, his life, his body as a holy, acceptable, reasonable service, I should say, unto the Father. So I'm very, very thankful to be in the presence with the saints. I wouldn't want to be any other place. I don't think I've ever stated or named the assembly head, so I'd like to take a moment to do that, hoping not to forget anyone, but just thanking the brethren who are actually initiating Yah's vision, being willing to follow and to lead brothers, to live communally. Brother Will Fairley, Brother Daniel, Brother Steve from New York, Brother Ron, Brother Kabir, Brother Robert, Brother Greg, thank you all. You know, thank you to the women of the Straightway Truth Ministry that support them, that dare to be different, that don't fear the world's opinions, that you've given up all, you know, to follow your husband and your leaders, and there's no other option for you. So I encourage each woman listening tonight to be strong and courageous, you know, to really let your Elohim be with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. So, Mother Jennifer, that's my heart tonight as we open up. Tonight we'll talk about the Dry Bones Conference, and believe me, it's going to be good. It's going to be good information. It's going to be encouraging and uplifting and hopefully even convicting. But let's go to you, Mother Jennifer, your heart.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, first and foremost, I just want to thank the Most High Yah for his power and his strength that he gives to his people. He tells us that he will strengthen us. He tells us that there will be days of pressure and anguish, that those things will come and others are going to weep and they're going to be sad, but we will actually be joyous and we will have plenty. All the nations will be jealous of us, but they won't be able to do anything against us at all. So I'm thankful that we belong to him and that he teaches us and he instructs us very well, that we have covenant with him and he will never break covenant with us. And it's my desire to just truly learn how to keep covenant with him continually forever, not my way, but his way. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his strength, his discernment, and just for being such a solid, you know, Sister Ashley, you say a solid force. You talk about Deacon in that way, and it really is so true. Them just being so, you know, continually strengthening, and they never waver at all. And I am so truly humbled to belong to him, to belong to his family, to be his Ashiah, to be his possession, to understand and know that I don't belong to myself. I lived, you know, such a selfish life so many years ago, and it really is an awesome opportunity to be able to live a life as a servant, and that is what I learned from my head, Elder Rufus. And finally, I want to say blessings to Pastor Dow and to his family, to his Ashiahs, for all of their service. You know, I heard so much about the Dry Bones Conference and just all the work that his family put in during this conference. And, you know, I just want to remind everybody that it's not just during the conferences that they put work in, but they're actually working behind the scenes continually all the time. There's so much that is unseen that they do on behalf of Israel. So blessings to you, Pastor Dow, for the example that you set, no matter what, always living a life of holiness, no matter what, you know, the things that are unseen, always making sure that they are holy. So blessings to you and to your entire family. And that's all I have.
Hallelujah. We're looking forward to Pastor Corey calling tonight. We have some emails that have come in about the Dry Bones Conference. And what else? Let me give some announcements. I can't forget to thank the security team and, yes, Pastor's family, those who travel with him, Brother Gideon, and those who travel from afar just to get to Texas, Sister Carell and Anyala, Koya, anyone else, because I don't know you and I weren't there, but you know who you are. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anyone who served, anyone who helped. I want to give just a store information. Let's do it this way. After talking with Mother this year, if you plan on running a table at the store this year, and I already know the date. I'm not gonna say it. I'm not gonna be hasty to say it in case it changes. Okay, so we can announce it as it gets closer. But if any of you are not aware, we offer a store where there are shirts, body products, natural things. Herbal tinctures, you know, medicinal things. Different people have different things to offer. Can you please call the dining hall, leave your name and number for me, and even if you are a straightway offlander, please help me see a visual so I can pass it to Mother, a visual of who's coming and what your table, just give your table a name, you know, give it a concept. I'm selling this, I'm selling this. Let's make sure we can all fit in, get in there. And, of course, if it's your first time coming, please refrain from selling any products and just bring up yourself. Take it all in before you offer anything to the saints. So that would be the only exclusion. But if you want a table, and even if I've approved you and talked to you, I have a few that I just called. I don't want to overlook anybody. I don't want anybody to be left out. We're going to do it a little different this year and have a running list. So please call the dining hall, leave your name and number, or just a message about your table, okay, and your request. Thank you for that. And I have a little bit of let me get it out here. Let me see if I got it. Mama Nelly gave me a very detailed. Let me see. It's not. There it is. Thank you, Father. So we have some T-shirts that I want to tell you about because all year long the T-shirts are $20. That's the price you would pay if you ordered, if you called, if you came. That's what you would pay. During the Feast of Sukkot, it's $15. For the following shirts, you can get one that says Sons of Jacob. You can get one that says Daughters of Sarah. You can get a all-black T-shirt with Hebrew written across it in white. We also have small and medium in this particular shirt right here. Commandment Keeper. If you've seen us wear the one that says Commandment Keeper, we have some smalls and mediums to offer for you. Remember, just $15 during Sukkot. It's not about making money. It's about giving you what you want to represent, what you want to wear, what you want to look like. You want to be modest. You want to dress as we dress. please consider these options when you come. So there are other selections, other sizes, hit and miss, but I'm just giving you a rundown of what we have on hand and potentially a lot of for you to choose from. So in the Commandment Keepers, we have black ones and we have baby blue. Hallelujah. And the last shirt that you would typically all year long pay $25 for, we're going to run a $5 off just for Sukkot. So it's the straightway shield. It's a really large straightway shield on the front. We have solid black T-shirts with a straightway shield, and we have purple with a straightway shield. So those are 20. The rest are 15. So check Mama Nelly's table out when you get here. And, of course, Carol will be here as well. Those are the main two tables at the feast. Everyone else just benefits and gets to share their knowledge and their products. So let's think. Anything else? I had someone else on. Oh, as far as the dry bones title, like I wanted to find out, was there anything to it? It's just Ezekiel 47. That's how it came about. The dry bones, Ezekiel 47. There has been 3 dry bones conferences. There was one in Atlanta, one in Florida, and one in recently, just now, Dallas. So tonight you're going to hear about Dallas. If you're just tuning in, you're just following the ministry, and you haven't heard of them before, we started a pattern. Special thank you to Michael Israel for initiating the title, or just even the conference idea. Pastors always traveled, not necessarily with titles of conferences or names, but he's always traveled. He's done this for many, many years. So just in the more recent years, it's been dry bones. So behind the scenes, I got with Mother Jennifer. She reached out on Marco Polo to initiate anyone's emails or phone calls for the show, so you know that the phone line is open from this time forward. We are looking forward to Pastor Corey calling in, and I'll take him first or as soon as he pops up, just considering his time. So your guest call-ins, 310-982-4226, and if it's like my situation recently, calling into Pastor's show on Blog Talk on Friday nights, or what we call 6-day nights, when we call into that Blog Talk, it'll give you a different number. Maybe you guys are running into that same thing too. It'll give you a different number to call in. So if I give you the wrong one, it's only because I don't know what it might be offering you to listen to. Okay, so if you call that number and you hear a different one, just follow them. Press 1 if you want to share your testimony. If you came to the Dry Bones Conference in Dallas, if you met Shepherd and his family, the security team, you want to say thank you to somebody, you want to glorify the Father, now's the opportunity to do it for the edification of everyone who's listening. So, Mother Jennifer, any announcements? Oh, 35 days until the Feast of Sukkot. You will be traveling here. Majority of you are coming on the 28th. If you are coming before the 28th, you will need to have gotten those dates approved by Elder Becker. The 28th is when the land is open to receive as many and many of you as you have called. And please call. If you haven't called and you know you're coming, please call. Our numbers are lower than they will be within the next 30 days. And as soon as you can call, then I can start rolling on the numbers on how much we need to actually feed and supply, and Mother goes shopping. Yes, she's already started shopping. But it's hard to guess numbers and say how much we need if I don't got my account. So consider us, consider logistics, and get the phone calls in whenever you're able, whenever you know, and that would help. Hallelujah. Let's go to a phone call, Mother Jennifer. It's Pastor. Let's bring him up. You ready?
Hallelujah. I'm ready.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's see. Pastor Corey, bless you. Area code 816. You're live. Shalom, Shepherd. Corey.
Shalom. Shalom, my family. Bless you all. Bless all Israel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you were in Dallas. Tell us about it.
All right. Well, you know, I don't want to be too long, but, you know, I'll just break it down like this. You know, I'm going to share my thoughts. I want to talk about, secondly, the evidence, because I think that's going to be our most important thing that we need to share on the call tonight. And then the third thing is really the memorable moments outside of the fellowship, which is going to kind of edify where we at in my second item here for tonight. So, you know, just on my thoughts first, you know, Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer, the fellowship was extremely sweet. And when I say extremely sweet, you know, you could read the book and know that the apostles, and when you see the words of Apostle Saul or Apostle Paul, you can see that he enjoyed the time that he had when they traveled and came together in the name of the HaMashiach. And that's what we had. When I look at one point, we was at Brother Galen's house, and I looked over at Pastor. You know, I had tears in my eyes, but I could see Pastor was just overjoyed, and I could just feel, you know, in his spirit, in his ruach, that he was thankful that Yah had led him all these long years to do the things that he didn't see exactly what this was going to be, but he was obedient, and he was thankful. And he had a chance to see the fruit of the doings of the Holy Spirit when he was able to look out and all us brothers was out here fellowshipping and genuinely giving up every bit of praise within us as offering to the Most High Yah, thanking him for the healings that we saw, thanking him that we had a chance to come together in peace, that we were able to be in the midst of one another again, not knowing, you know, when the day of trial shall come fully upon all of us. And so that was a great thing, absolutely. And I can keep going if you all want me to through these items, or if you need to stop me, feel free.
Yes, Pastor, go ahead. Fellowship was sweet. We're listening.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the other things that I noticed, you know, was really watching the men of Yah, you know, move and fellowship. And it just took me to a point, you know, to see all of these brothers come from the places that they all came from, you know, and especially in seeing the Texas Saints brothers come together in the capacity that they did, and seeing the sisters come together as well. You know, it was a great sight, because, you know, even talking to Greg when he was getting some feedback from him, he said, you know, they hadn't had opportunities to really go in prior to do any setup or anything because the place wouldn't allow them in. But, you know, they was diligent, you know, even though they're in Houston and, you know, the brothers that's there in Dallas and whatever other saints that came together, they, you know, came together in the spirit of Yah to make sure that those who have not yet believed, those who have not yet seen, had no place for excuse but to show up and watch the Most High Yah move. And then even for those who have fellowshiped at Brother Galen's house, they saw the sisters come together. And, I mean, you wouldn't have known that we was at somebody's house. You would have thought that we were at some venue where service was extremely great, because everything from my eyes was, I mean, it was beyond exceptional. And it just, I mean, you could just see the sisters enjoying one another, you know, gleaning, you know, from the shepherd's house, from, you know, Mother Carol on down, you know, to all those, you know, who pastors have direct contact in training up in this way. You know, seeing, you know, my Ishai and just all the, you know, all the sisters that came together. It was just, it was great. You know, I mean, that you could do that over and over and over and over again. And it to me, And I'm not giving it the level of the justice of what it's going to be like in the kingdom, but we do know that we're coming together in the spirit of the Most High Yah. And so it comes with a different value. It comes with a different experience that people who really don't know what it is to give all for Yah, you had that. That, you know, this past Dry Bones conference weekend, it was powerful, absolutely. And the last thing I want to share my thoughts as far as, you know, the conference is really for myself, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley, is that I really paid attention to the shepherd, because, you know, he was out there not on his own accord, but he was out there to represent everything that the Most High Yah is. And it showed, because so many people who had not believed, people who believed already, people who was in between belief, those who did not know what to expect, all saw people from different places. Even people who was watching online, you know, there I heard that people received testimonies and reports of healing. And so what you have to pay attention to is that when Yah give these men, and remember, he said he knew you before you was in your mother's womb. So this is on purpose that Yah sent in men who would stand and represent, who would love him enough that you could see the evidence of that in them surrendering their life. And so I saw how Shepherd moved. And even as we sat there at Brother Galen's house when the conference was over, Pastor was just, you could see he was zapped, that much virtue had gone out. And that virtue that goes out, it goes out on the account of love. And that's what you got to ask yourself. What are you doing this for? Most of these folks that call themselves Morays and Kohens and you name it, they don't really understand this. They can't see it. You know, I know that because I talked to a brother that was, he grew up in Dimona, Israel, where that huge movement took place, and they have a huge community over in Israel. And when I talked to him, I talked to him about the things he saw. And what I noticed was we didn't have the same excitement. See, and I'm going to talk about that tonight, because that's what you have to pay attention to. When you see the shepherd going forth in the love of Yahshua HaMashiach, it was his desire that the will of our master who left this to us to do until he comes back with fire in his eyes, he left this for us. And this is why so many people have this movement wrong, because this movement to them is about restoring flesh, when this movement to the Most High Yah is about saving souls. And so that was the evidence that people needed to believe enough now to give themselves wholly and fully to the work of the ministry. And that's where we are. You know, that's what I wanted to share in terms of my thoughts about the conference. And so in that, you know, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley, then this is what scripture I want to say before we truly talk about the healing of the Most High Yah. Now, I want everybody to pay attention to this, because this is what you got to understand. This happened right before your eyes. And I'm going to say this before I read. You know this happened before your eyes because Pastor asked after the first round of him going around and literally proclaiming with his mouth the name of Jesus and proclaiming the power that goes forth when you invoke the name of Jesus, Yahshua, when you invoke the declaration of declaring what is taking place because of the name and the power of the Ruach. Then you watch, he said, if you have a testimony, then I need you to come up here. And then you watched all of these people storm to the front of the room, and people gave realistic, touching testimonies about what took place. So what is that summed up in? Hear this, my sisters, the daughters of Zion, and all the brothers, and whoever might come across this. I want you to hear this. This is 1 John. I'm going to read 1 John, you know, Chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 4. Right, let's hear this. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, And notice this, listen, because this is a Hebraic experience that John is laying out for us, because this is what happened to people during the Dry Bones Conference. He said, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also, now this is the part right here that we need to pay attention to, that ye also may have fellowship with us. See, we can't have fellowship truly until people understand why I keep talking about manifestation, 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 because you don't know. You're outside of the goodness of the Most High Yah, because maybe you have not seen, you have not heard, and this is what I was talking about with this brother who was from Dimona, Israel. So if you're in Israel, obviously you have a, quote-unquote, a viable, holy experience according to what people think. But I don't think that, because we know the word in James says we have no continuing city to return to. So they say that they patiently wait for the one to come down. All right, I want to get stuck on it. But I want to stay in this vein here. All right, he says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. See, you know, people are excited. I saw that, you know, in the fellowship in Brother Galen's backyard. I saw that in people who stood around, you know, after the conference had ended, and they could not believe what they had seen and experienced. But see, this is what we're doing. When you see Pastor Dow say he's standing flat-footed and he declaring that the kingdom of heaven, is he declaring to you these things? Because his hands have touched, his eyes have seen, his ears have heard. So he wants to declare the manifestation that he has seen and experienced with all those who are willing and desire to see it. And this is what this whole thing is about. That's what Dry Bone Conference was about to me, was about having the manifestation come out that the dry bones now be called back into form, that we stand up in strength as our Heavenly Father prepares to rise up and shut the door, and that the Mashiach soon shall be here coming in on the clouds with fire in his eyes. This dry bone conference was an example of what is going on in the earth for those who lack the experience. See, I'm not just putting it on Straightway, but guess what? That event was Straightway, and many people received manifestation. I don't see people putting it out on the internet, on the YouTube, on Facebook, and people have testimonies. I see people getting together with rap concerts and new garments and rap CDs, and they're selling, you know, the latest hoodies with COVID-19 face masks tied to the hoodies. I mean, there's a lot of other things except the manifestation of our Heavenly Father, that he is alive, that he is doing this, that he is calling back his children, and we're going to know him because we have seen him in his form, because of the works that he have done, because of the creation that is still following the order of his words when he spoke it, in the day that he spoke it, before he rested in the seventh. We can still see these things. So, in talking about evidence, I wanted that John, you know, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, to be a guide for us tonight as I lay that with us, Israel. And I'm going to talk about a few testimonies. Number one, you know, me and Elder Mitchell had opportunity to work with Brother Norman. You know, bless you well, brother, if you're listening, you and your Ishaya and your whole house. It was great to share in the compassion of our Mashiach with you, brother. I know you was joyed, and I pray that he continue to work, you know, in you, because when we prayed, we gathered around, and we saw that at first there was no movement in your right leg, as we saw when we finished, you know, and that was due to you having a stroke after so long of years experiencing that. And so to see you lift your leg up and down, to see you move it forward as we walked along with you, to see you stand up and down, man, I'm just thankful for whatever else he's going to do. And we've seen those things, and we've seen many other things, you know, that even that when Pastor called out, man, the greatest thing was just seeing how people was amazed. You know, and I said it, even the pastor, and I said it, you know, some other times, that, you know, it was amazing to see Pastor just walk around and just touch and keep walking. But yet people were coming with, I mean, they were coming with reports that just ties us all in. How can you walk out of there and know that the presence of the Most High Yah wasn't around, through, in, and with us who believe and who came expecting, desiring to see him in his form of healing? Man, it was amazing. And I bring to you another report. You know, this is a brother that got on YouTube, one of the YouTube videos, a guy named Richard Hayes. He said the Holy Spirit was definitely present. He said that he had to see the fruit with his own eyes. And because of what he saw, I am now a true believer. He said the Spirit is definitely with this ministry. And so, you know, you got things like that that's coming forth. You know, we had Brother Cedric. You know, he got prayed. You know, his daughter got prayed for a few times in there. And so I told him, let us know, you know, when, you know, things come forth so that you can be ready to tell the testimony with your own mouth. And so he texted me a long text, said on the way home that, you know, his daughter had a strong, very strong release, had some bowel issues, and seemed like it was generational, you know, from grandmother and great-grandmother and just in the family, period. And there was a great, great release there. And then I checked Marco Polo today, and not had known Brother Willie had sent me a Marco Polo Monday, the day after we got back. And I looked at it, and man, I was in the library, and I had to get up out of there because of the, man, I could just feel the Spirit through that Marco Polo video that he sent, because he was so thankful at the manifestation of what has happened, you know. And he talked about how, you know, he was having some issues with his back and how he's been having it for 20 years. And, you know, and this was that Sunday when he was getting ready to leave, and he didn't ask me to pray for him or nothing. He said, Shepherd, when you came and hugged me, man, I had healing in my body. I could not help my son in the yard. I couldn't help my wife in the flower bed. You know, there was many things, you know, riding, you know, the lawnmower to cut the grass. I couldn't do those things, you know, and now this is what I'm doing. And so when I see that, when I look at this, you know, to me, this is all a part of what those who are loving Yah, whether you are one of the shepherds or elders or deacons or teachers, all of us in this ministry who are praying to Yah, we are praying for the manifestation. We're praying for the greatness. And so when I hear testimonies like this, it just makes me more eager to see the things that our shepherd talks about, man, and seeing even greater works come forward in the days that lie ahead, because we know that evil is ramping up to a great capacity. So seeing this, you know, at the Dry Bones Conference was just absolutely, it was just mind-blowing. It was, you know, strength-building. It was, you know, increasing in the Holy Spirit, increasing in the desire to serve Yah, see Yah for who he is, and to separate even more so from the world, from the nations who have not known our Elohim in this capacity. And so I'm going to, you know, end in this fashion with, you know, just the last memorable moments, you know, outside of the fellowship. And, you know, one, I want to talk specifically about one thing, that this is how, you know, everything was manifested according to the will of Yah, was when the shepherd told everybody to stretch forth their hand. And when he told them to stretch forth their hand, he didn't have to go forth and lay hands on everybody, you know, because it's in the word. And I'm gonna go to a few other places other than the scripture that he went to that day, because he read the word for the hearing in their ears, so that when they hear, that they shall believe, then they shall be healed. And so I'm going to just read Acts chapter 4, verse 30 real quick. It says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And so when we see things like that, you know, it's just evident that we're in the right place, because other places don't teach this. Other places don't abide in this. And one, you don't believe in Jesus. Number two, the name is going to cause you to stumble. Number three, you don't have enough faith to even exercise something that we saw our shepherd put into play. All right, here's another one. Matthew 12:13. Then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth and was restored whole like as the other. And so here, this is in the book. Here it is. Here's a man, Pastor Charles Dow Jr., years later, who heard the call of the Most High God, desired to keep the Sabbath. Armed forces in the military, in the army where he served. And here it is, years later. You know, after he made a decision to take his family out to Tennessee and live on the land in a trailer and to come share with you, that's what I did, but this is the result. I'm telling you to stretch forth your hand. You got healed today because of the word, the same word I heard, I bring to you today. That's why I share it with everybody. 1 John 1:1-4, so you can go back and review that, because that is the essence of being Hebraic, because our senses should be keen in Yah. And so, therefore, Yah is using these things to let you be firm in your faith. He let your eyes be hearers, be doers, see and know. And so we're experiencing all these things. Here's the last thing I'm going to say, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley and all Israel. I'm going to say this. You know, this is what people miss. You know, I'm going to say this. Three times. See, this is how I know Yah is real for myself. Three times that I watched Gabby give this testimony about her healing, the power just that Yah used to heal my Isha, he's still using in and among his people to draw us near unto him. The first time when she got healed, the night she got healed, and she told me to feel her abdominal cavity, to press up against it and push my fingers pretty far in between that inner lining in her mid-abdominal structure. And that night when she told me to touch it, I couldn't even press in anymore. And she said, I'm healed. I'm like, wow, what happened? She said, I was over here praying. I was crying out, asking him to please hear me. And I noticed what I said, Saint. She was crying out. I remember the night she was crying. I remember tears streaming down. I remember she was begging the Most High Yah to come in. Oh, Jesus, I can feel it right now. And I remember when she got up on stage and told the testimony, man, you could see people rip into joy, seeing that she was healed. And that night when we left, a lady came running across the parking lot, chasing, Sister Gabby, Sister Gabby. You know when you was up telling the testimony? I didn't know anyone else was dealing with that. I was dealing with the same thing. And when you were telling your testimony, I got healed while you were telling your testimony. That was the first time. Then, when we was up at Brother Kabir's house, and when Gabby was telling that testimony, man, that the spirit was just high. And that in that moment is when we called up Brother Daniel and Sister Chris, and we laid hands on Brother Daniel's son, Braxton. And that healing went forth. Then I heard at the conference, there was a sister said she heard her testimony on Marco Polo about her healing. And she received healing. See, this is what we are in. See, the Most High is amazing. This ain't about the people more than it is about the name and the spirit that's dwelling in and among the people. And so as dry bones continue to go forth, know that this is what people are getting. This ain't just getting together. These are real people that got testimony, that's ready to tell the testimony, that's ready to glorify, that's ready to stand up in the name of Jesus while everybody's fighting and fussing over names and to help you see what they won't see. So I bless the name of our Master Jesus Yahshua HaMashiach. I thank my shepherd and our shepherd here in this day who Yah has sent to serve in a great capacity, Pastor Charles Dow Jr., and all of my family at Straightway, because we truly are living the word in the capacity that has the evidence of living the true life that Yah desired for us while we would be here in this last time. Bless you well, family. Bless you well. And shalom, shalom.
Hallelujah. Shalom. Thank you so much. We appreciate you by praying for you and staying on our knees for you, for your family, for Kansas City, for all of Straightway community. Thank you for your time, your call, the verses, your testimony. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you again.
Hallelujah.
Shalom. Mother Jennifer, great call. Great way to start off our testimonies as we talk about Dry Bones Conference, Dallas 2020. What do you say?
Very good testimony. And, you know, very good point that he brought up about our shepherd going forward in love. You know, it's about saving souls and serving Yah by serving Yah's people. And that's definitely something that we see in our shepherd. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I had so many verses come to mind when I was thinking about the show or just even thinking about Dry Bones. And we have some emails. I'm going to get to them too, some more testimonies. But, you know, when the word says in Matthew 10 that you go to the lost sheep, right, and specifically our shepherd, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and heal the sick and cast out devils, and freely give because you receive freely. And then a town or a city that you enter into, you inquire who's worthy and you abide there. So thank you, Brother Galen, Sister Anyala, thank you. And then the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor, pastors always said, who's the poor? Those who have the word, the gospel preached to them. All power, Jesus said, was given to him in heaven and earth to go teach all nations. That's what he told his disciples, go teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son. Teach them to observe the things that I command you. So our shepherd's walking this out. Jesus says, I'll give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So Matthew 9:12, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Right? They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Well, we think about Isaiah and what he said. He says, oh, alas, you sinful nation, a people loaded with crookedness, a seed of evildoers, sons acting corruptly. They've forsaken Yahweh. They provoked the set-apart one of Israel. They went backwards. You continue in this apostasy. All the head is sick. all the hearts faint. You know, speaking of a condition. So what happens? Jesus goes forth. He heals the sick. He heals a paralytic man or a sick with palsy, the word says. And he tells him, you know, be of good cheer. Your sins have been forgiven you. And he says, I come to call sinners to repentance. That is the word going forth. That is the gospel. That is the day we're living in. You know, I come to call sinners to repentance. A woman was diseased with an issue of blood. She comes behind him, and she gets healed from a 12-year infirmity. You know, Jesus rose a dead woman. He healed two blind men who followed him, desperate for healing. He cast the devil from a dumb man, and the man spoke again, and the multitude is marveling. Wow. All this is going on. But it says, believe on me. If you do believe on me, then greater works will you do. Greater works will you do. Pastor, greater works will you do? This is mighty. So stretch forth your hand. Hallelujah. Let's go to email. First, I'll read one. We'll go back and forth. I printed off the first four emails we received. Mother Jennifer printed off the last four or five that we received. You know, you can call in if you didn't. If you were there, if you want to say thank you, if you have a testimony. If not, we're gonna keep reading these emails talking about this experience. I wasn't there. Tell me about it. Tell me something I didn't see. Tell me something that I don't know of. You know, and let's start here with this one because this is a good, just an overall experience email. Not just necessarily a testimony of healing, but just overall everything. So it says, Shalom, bless you, Mother Jennifer, Sister Ashley. I'm so excited to share what I experienced and my testimony from the Dry Bones Rising Conference. First, I'd like to say thank you to Pastor Dell, all of the leadership, thank you, that attended the conference. I'm so grateful and I'm still in awe with how much you poured into us and the love and the patience you walk in. If I ever wanted to know what Yah is like, I see his representation in you. I understand the balance that you have with loving us as sheep, but also in getting us in line with the staff when you need to, and I thank you for that. To our mother, mama, Sister Summer, Sister Gabby, and Auntie, you are an example of what holiness and righteousness is, and you give me a wonderful example of how to behave, how to honor, and how to be an Isha that my master can be proud of. Thank you for answering questions for us and being so kind to me. The conference was so amazing. My faith has truly been increased. I thank Yah for the preparation we had from sister to sister and the words of wisdom from our shepherd. I'm a believer that the Messiah still does miracles today. And to see and feel his presence was so special for me. I learned so much and hung off of every word the pastor said. I saw his love for the people and the anointing beaming off of everyone on the platform. People were healed. Deliverance went forth. Legs and arms were grown out. And I cried out so much. I felt like I had a faucet in my eyes. I was able to serve alongside my sisters, which brought us closer together. To see my dear sister Carell with a baby hanging on her back, giving us clear instructions, made me feel so good. We were a true unit, a tribe. There were no murmurs or complaints, just love, and truly wanted to help where we could. And if I may say to our shepherd, I understand order because of you. I would have never thought that I could be the woman that I am at this stage of my life, but you not only teach my master how to be strong, but you're teaching me how to be a woman with the examples you've put in place for me and my sisters to see. So I know I have so far to go, but like the words of Mama Nelly, I should not focus on all my wrongs and shortcomings. I should focus on the areas I've perfected, and the rest will follow. I see now my words have power. You said we all have the same power, but I realize I need work on obedience. I'm also working on any bent or crooked ways, any iniquities I would have never known unless you showed me, and I thank you, sir. I thank you, Pastor Corey, Elder Rufus, Elder Mitchell, Brother Kabir, Brother Greg, Deacon Miguel, the security team, my Texas family, all the beautiful sisters I had a chance to meet for pushing me to be better than yesterday. So thank you all, Sister Deira, Sister D, there in Texas. And at this time, let's bring up the woman we call Auntie, Sister Chandra. Hallelujah. Sister Chandra is live in Georgia. But Mother Jennifer, let's go to her and get an overall. Let's get a testimony or anything you want to share. Are you there, Auntie?
Hallelujah. Auntie is here, and we're going to put her on now.
Hallelujah. All right.
Bless you, Sister Ashley. How you doing?
Bless you. I'm so victorious. Good to hear your voice. I'm excited about anything you have to share to me. I wasn't there. You were. Tell me about it.
it was pretty awesome. Just the Father's power, his love for his people that has that we always see through our shepherd. Mother and her sisters opened up asking the Holy Spirit that his fire would come down. It was just so beautiful. I did see the brother that Pastor Corey was working with. When Pastor started speaking, I just happened to look over, and he was in the wheelchair, and it was like he already had expectation. And you could see him, like, almost wanting to stand up on his own. And I remember, I believe the shepherd had went over and had asked Pastor Corey to work with him. And then so I had Pastor Corey behind me working with him. I heard him commanding him to move his feet. And I saw his foot moving. And then I had Mother Carol in front of me working with a sister doing deliverance, and then after deliverance, she immediately went into helping her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm like looking between with just great just expectation and just looking behind me and looking in front of me, hearing, and it was just awesome. It was just beautiful. And just all the testimonies of the saints, everybody that came up and that received healing. And I remember there was one woman that stood out to me. She was sitting across the room, but she kind of had a skeptical look on her face. And by the time that it was time for us to have dinner, and I looked over there and she was gone. So I don't know. Hopefully she got what she needed, or that was doubt and doubt left. But it was really awesome. And I'm grateful to the Father that he allowed me to be at this conference also. And I'm looking forward to many more conferences also, but that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you for your words. Thank you for a moment of your time. For everything you do, just your availability behind the scenes, the connections that I'm able to get to you, if I want to spare a moment of Mother Jennifer's time, your support to Elder, your love for your family and your community. Thank you for your example. Auntie, Sister Chandray, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Sister Ashley, can I say something? You know, there were so many sisters that reported back on just how loving and how meek and how selfless Auntie Chandray is. And I just wanted to say that, you know, that is her all the time. It's not a show. It's not a front. That is Auntie all the time, always looking to serve the Daughters of Zion and never wanting the spotlight on herself at all. So, and Chandray also mentioned the servitude of the women there. She said the unity and the servitude of the women was on just a whole nother level. And her heart was so full just being able to see that, you know, that there was genuine love between the women, that it really was a true, genuine love that they had for one another and for truly wanting to just serve. So I just wanted to add that.
Hallelujah. Thank you for your kindness, for the praises, hallelujah, that go forth for Auntie. It's something in our heart. You know, her daughter strives to be the same character, not to be as her mother, but to be holy as he is holy. So you just can't say enough about Auntie and Sister Chandray. Let's go to one of your emails. Let's pull one up. Read it for me.
All right. Okay. It says, Shalom, my beloved mother and sisters. Writing to testify of Yah's healing miracles and deliverance that took place. As instructed, I went excited and expecting for the Father to move. I was more excited and expecting for the newer saints than I was concerned about myself. During the birth of my baby, I suffered a hip injury that left me unable to lift my leg for a week, and with permeating lower back pain that would flare up while standing for long periods of time. When Pastor called out back pain, my mouth dropped, like of all things, of all the directions he could have went. He went there, so I passed my husband's daughter to her sister and stood, and I did as Pastor instructed. as he commanded, and I moved. I felt my hip move into proper position, and the lower back pain faded until completely gone. I also received healing in my knees that had recently began to ache. I am still walking in that healing and was even able to sit Indian style without no pain in my hip. I also wanted to testify and speak on my gratitude to the Texas Saints and shout out to the house of Brother Galen for such a great example of hospitality. The peace and love was felt. The servitude was beautiful. Shout out to the security team because you all moved in excellence and we felt thoroughly covered and protected. I was grateful that I was allowed to partake in such sweet fellowship. I continue to see what's accomplished when the saints move in oneness to accomplish the vision of our shepherd and most of all, Yah's kingdom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go to a sister in Oklahoma. I see a pattern of healings in the back, specifically in my emails. All right, this is a sister in Oklahoma. She says, first, I give all the glory and praise to Yah for allowing me the opportunity to be at the conference as well as serve the saints with my Texas sisters. It was a beautiful experience. I've been dealing with a large knot on the back of my neck, which was causing great pain and almost constant pressure on my back, shoulders, and neck for months. At the conference, I was able to go up and Pastor Dow laid hands on me. Almost immediately, I felt a warm feeling moving through the areas where I had been experiencing pain. Mother Jennifer, go to Matthew 9:35. I literally felt pressure releasing and all the pain leave. It was like when you take a sigh of relief and everything just feels calm and at peace. I was crying and thanking Jesus for the healing while walking out into the lobby of the venue. Once I was in the lobby, without even thinking, I reached back to touch the back of my neck, which is a habit. I had acquired it since the pain began. And the knot that was previously there was gone. I instantly burst into rejoicing tears again. All I could do is cry while smiling ear to ear. Since this healing has gone forth, I have not experienced any pain or pressure in these areas. My master can testify that even my posture has changed. Hallelujah. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm thankful for Yah because he keeps his word and he doesn't change. He's our healer and our deliverer. I'm thankful that my faith has been increased and that I'm filled with encouragement to press towards righteousness. I'm truly moved by the mighty works of Yah that I personally got to experience and see others experience. He's worthy of all praise. Matthew 9:35, read it for me.
And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
Hallelujah. My version says, and Yeshua went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their congregations, proclaiming the good news of the reign and healing every disease and every bodily weakness among the people. Hallelujah. This is Bible. Pull up another email, please. Mother Jennifer, read one from your end.
All right. It says, the day of the conference, I woke engaged in spiritual warfare. The spirit of doubt kept trying to come upon me to discourage me from receiving any healing or deliverance, but I did not give in. From the very beginning, when Pastor Dow's Ashayas began to sing, I could feel the Ruach stirring, and we welcomed the Holy Spirit to dwell amongst us. When I was young, I was diagnosed with scoliosis in my upper spine. I suffered from stiff neck pain in the neck, stiff back pain up and down my spine, pain in my hips and lower back. I had gotten so used to it that it was second nature to me. Also, when I was 15 years old, I had open heart surgery. I was diagnosed with an atrial septal defect, a birth defect that causes a hole in the wall between the heart's upper chambers. Atrial septal defects that aren't diagnosed until adulthood can damage the heart and lungs. So in other words, I had an enlarged heart. I was athletic. I played basketball and always had to work extra hard to breathe. And everything I did was a gasp for air. As soon as Pastor asked if anyone has back problems to raise their hand, my back immediately started hurting more than usual. I felt a fear try to come over me, like, don't make yourself notice. No one has to know about your aches and pains, but I raised my hand anyway. I knew it was a spirit trying to keep me in agreement with this ailment. when Pastor told those with back problems to stand and raise our arms in front of us, I already started thanking the Father in advance for what's about to happen. Pastor Dow went around and he tapped me on the back of my shoulder, and I immediately felt the anointing. I began to praise the Father and speak in tongues, and the rest of my spine, all the way down to my hips, began to move. My heart started to feel full. All I could do was cry tears of joy because there was no more pain. Glory, hallelujah, I had been healed. No more back pain, no more hip pain, no more stiff neck, and no more neck pain. My posture had been corrected. As soon as I got to my seat, I began to feel movement in my chest around my heart. I started taking deep breaths. All of a sudden, it felt like ice-cold water being poured over my heart, and it was tingling. I could feel the ruach as it felt like my heart was being massaged. I began to weep as I could feel a brand-new heart being built in me, literally reconstructing. After the tingling and movement in my chest stopped, my breathing improved. I felt like a completely new person, for I had received a brand new heart without question or doubt. Hallelujah, during all this process, I had also received deliverance in areas where I had been experienced deep hurt. Things that I had held on to for so long, those walls were knocked down. I had received everything and more that I wanted at this conference. I came with great expectation and left a new creature, walking in the newness of life. And praise Yah for those who watch for our souls. I am truly thankful and grateful to you all. Praise Yah. Shalom. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, this is Bible 2020. Acts 3 says Peter and John were going about, they saw a certain man lame from his birth. Y'all just heard her testimony, right? It was from birth. Like, this is an issue from birth. I got this heart issue going on from birth. So this certain man, he's lame from birth. He's carried by Peter, by John, and they take him by the right hand. They lift him up. Immediately his feet and his ankle bones were made strong again. That's Acts 3. We're talking about, can I be funny for a minute? We're talking about the book of Dry Bones, chapter Dallas, right? Verse 1. And Pastor Dow went to the conference. What was it? September 16, 2020. A woman possessed with a demon and an infirmity since. Right? How many years or so? Now she's free. Now she's free. When this is happening to you, it's everything. So embrace Hallelujah. These moments. Embrace these moments. I got another one for you. Let's go to another email. Here's a good testimony. Shalom and blessings, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. Praise and honor and glory to our soon coming King who has healed me. I was not at the Dry Bones Conference, but I was able to watch it on the sisters group, Marco Polo, and on Pastor Dow's YouTube channel. With my first child, I had a C-section, and the epidural left me with lower back pain. And that's a lot of sisters' issues. That's a lot. A lot goes on in childbirth. A lot. So keep yourself moving. Keep yourself prayed up. So with my first child, I had a C-section, and the epidural left me with lower back pain. Pain was on a scale for 7 to 10, especially when I would bend down to pick items up. I never went to a doctor or took any pain medication or complained about it, but this was for 8 years. After listening to the Dry Bones Conference, and as Pastor was commanding, I felt my back loosen and the pain was gone. Hallelujah. Praise Almighty Yahweh, who is my healer. That's a powerful story right there. Powerful story, Mother Jennifer. Your thoughts or another email?
That's a really good testimony, Sister Ashley. You know, I've heard there's a lot of testimonies of people that did not attend the conference, but they were healed just from watching it from where they were at. So very good testimony. I'm going to read another one. You ready, Sister Ashley?
I'm ready. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This sister says that her and her husband were asked to help with the Dry Bones Conference, and she said, we were so excited to help, and we didn't know what to expect, but we knew we would do whatever we were told to do to help make this happen. My testimony may be a little different than others. It was a true honor to be able to wash the leadership's feet. I thought I knew what serving the saints really meant. Apparently, I didn't. I gained so much more by serving the saints. I learned what it truly means to learn your sister's mind. I fully understand the importance of submitting to one another as servants. It was a different experience that I give all praises to the Most High. I gained so much knowledge from Mother Carol, Mama Nellie, Auntie, and Sister Gabby. I learned the correct order to do things in straight way and the right way. It truly was an honor to serve the saints, and I had so much fun. I gained a lot of sisterhood with all of my sisters. I was able to witness a small percentage of what Straightway does for all the saints. I have a newfound respect for all the saints at the hub when they're preparing for the feast. I can only imagine what more they have to do. I'm truly humbled by what I witnessed. On the day of the conference, I was able to see more than 80 people get healed. Hallelujah. There were saints' legs that were shorter than the other. And when Pastor Dow was commanding healing, the other leg stretched out, even with the other. There was a man who had a hunchback, and as soon as Pastor laid hands on him, he was healed. And you would have never guessed he had a hunchback. There were people who were healed from scoliosis. There were people healed from back injuries. There were also people who got deliverance. Then to see all the people testify on what the Most High did for them was amazing. Hallelujah. I give all honor to the Most High for this experience. I thank Pastor Dow and all leadership for everything they do in this ministry. I thank Houston, Brother Greg, and Sister Carell, and all the brothers and sisters that helped us here in Dallas. I truly miss having everyone down here with us and can't wait to see everyone again at Tabernacles, Yah willing. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. For the Master said, I set you to be a light to the nations, that you should be deliverance to the ends of the earth. And when the nations heard, they were glad and they praised Yah, right? That's our response. That's how our heart should be. And we should praise Yah. Acts 13:52. And the taught ones were filled with joy and the set apart spirit. Next email for me. Shalom, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. I am Sister from Mississippi. I wanted to share my testimony. I've been having back pains for the last 3 weeks. Take to mind, I've been having these pains on and off for about 6 months, but this time it was much more excruciating, and I would ask my master to massage my back. I would ask his children to stand on my back. I would use heat and ice and anything to get a little relief. While attending the meeting, I told my master, I don't think I'm going to be able to sit here. My back is hurting so bad. That's the worst I've ever experienced it while sitting down. Moments later, pastor asked, anyone in here having any back pains to raise your hand? I immediately raised my hand, and he asked again and told us to stand up and stretch our hands out in front of us. While pastor was praying, I immediately started feeling this burning sensation, and I felt nauseous. And I don't remember much after that besides jumping up and down and glorifying Yah. I realized at that moment my back pain was gone. Glory, hallelujah. I'm just so thankful to Yah for blessing our shepherd with such power. I spoke with my master earlier today, and I told him I really haven't had any more back pains, and that you know I was in pain daily. And he replied, sweetheart, you've been healed. I've never witnessed anything like this in my life. And I just give all praises to the Most High Yah for allowing my master and I to be a part of this ministry. The conference was amazing, and experiencing this has truly brought me closer to the Father more than ever. Hallelujah. Shalom to my sisters. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. Awesome. I actually don't have any more letters, but all these testimonies are truly just an awesome testament to the faithfulness of the Most High Yah. And just like what Pastor Corey talked about, you know, this is increasing somebody's faith. Hearing these testimonies of healing experiences, they're really increasing somebody's faith. So, you know, really rejoice with those who have been healed. Be excited about it and know that the Father can do the same thing for you. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. All right, well, no phone calls. I don't have anything either. You said you had a question, like off topic. Shalom, Sister Bonnie. Bless you for your example. Do you want to ask it? You want to move on? You want to call the show?
I do want to ask. It was a sister that had asked about deliverance, you know, and it goes into how do you maintain your deliverance. You know, we talk about most of the work being done outside of the chair, you know, not necessarily while you're sitting in a chair, but the work that goes into it before you get in the chair and then when you get up so that you can maintain that deliverance. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. How to maintain deliverance, okay, and how to, man, you know, my sisters, it's like constantly walking in a state of repentance. That really needs to be your nature. Let no pride be found in you. And if you just focus on the word repent, repent is, yes, mouth confession, but it's also to think differently afterwards. You know, that's the main goal for mouth confession, is that if I say this to you, Father, if I'm really repenting for this, then I'm going to think differently afterwards. I'm going to, what is to repent? It is to reconsider your ways, right? To be turned or turn back, to be eased or comforted because you've wronged. It's not to be condemned. It's not to be overwhelmed or be seen as unprofitable, you're not worthy, you're never going to make it, and it's just this road that is endless, you know, whatever the enemy may put in front of you. But to maintain deliverance is to just constantly let no pride be found in you today and the next day and the next day and the next day. So, you know, in Acts, you find it a lot. It says repent and be converted. And it says repent of your wickedness and pray so perhaps you will be forgiven. You know, it says he commands all men everywhere to repent. Revelation says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent. So repenting is a conglomeration of an attitude that you have in your nature that's going to keep you from a lot of flesh. And it actually brings up a word. Mother Jennifer, by coincidence, that you even asked me this question, if I can go there. You want to change your heart. You want to change your mind. You want to change your purpose and your conduct, right? So that's yes, it's a huge goal, okay. But you do that by not acting out of the flesh time and time and time again. You do that for, you know, because the Father is worthy of your behavior. We get really wrapped up in our relationships. We get really confused, angry, emotions flare, et cetera, in the actual people that are in your life, and you lose focus of the Father who is deserving of your nature at all times. Okay, so he's not deserving of your honor, and she's not deserving of your apology, and he did this to you, and she did that to you. Right? But that's so fleshly. It's not godly. And a word that came up often this week, if I didn't hear it, I saw it. If I didn't see it, I heard it. And I'm like, this is so fleshly. So I'm gonna share this with y'all. The word is vent, right? In the English language, we say vent to give a emotion, like to release a strong emotion, right? You vent. You actually, as a woman and daughter of Yah, you should never vent. Never. Never. It should never be your character. Never. You don't let someone pull it out of you, and you don't initiate it. So venting is releasing strong emotions, saying what you think, getting it off your chest, reducing stress. Look, I'm going to type this thing. This is interesting, right? I'm going to type, Google, he's our everything, right? Mr. Google, let's see. Let's see what you got for me today, Google. What is venting? All right, the expression or release of a strong emotion and energy. All right, so Mr. Google will tell me if venting is good or bad or sin. That's great to know. So he's going to tell me, when you vent, you let something out, whether it's hot air or your feelings. If you vent your feelings, you let out a strong and sometimes angry emotion and just say what you think. You might vent your rage when your brother, okay, et cetera. Boring. Basically, I'm telling you, my sisters, venting, oh, here it is. Is it a sin to vent? Now, remember, this is Mr. Google. This is not Mother Jennifer and Ashley for a moment. Is it a sin to vent? The words that come out of our mouth are tainted with ungodly emotions and judgments. Is that true? Yes. It gives Colossians 3:8. Now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscenity, speech from your mouth. Okay. I am a deacon's possession, a deacon's isha. I have no one in my life that I vent to. I have no one in my life that I want to vent to. I have no temptation to vent. I hope that's an encouragement for you, because I don't have my husband that I run to and spew anything or any strong emotion to. I don't. Ask him. I don't have a sister that I'm close with and tight with that I can just vent. Could I dialogue? Yes. Do I have a friend? Yes. Absolutely, but in nature, like in my heart, in nature, I just won't allow it. So I actually had a circumstance, come to me, a venting circumstance. I'm not gonna hear it. And it reminds me of, when I walked into the tabernacle, Mother Jennifer, I walked into the sound room, and we have a sister here from California, bless you, shout out to you, and Sister Sakina. And they were listening to Straightway Kansas City, exhortation number 7, and it's called Your Speech Can Bind You. And there's actually a clip that, I'm walking in and sitting down, and I just hear it and catch on to it. It talks about what have you really bound yourself to by your words? Now, remember, I'm talking about repenting, and I'm talking about maintaining deliverance. So I don't want to get too far from the focus, okay? So what have you, that's what Pastor Corey was saying, like, what have you bound yourself to? How many vain words and things that you have said that keeps you in a certain circumstance or in a certain nature? So, yes, there's miraculous healings. We talked about it all night, but there's also a behavior according to godliness that you're supposed to maintain, and no one should tempt you out of that. And so I had a certain circumstance multiple times, present itself to me. I'm not going to hear your venting. I have nowhere to go if I wanted to vent, though I'm not tempted to, and you're not going to come to me and vent. And that's the kind of character we need to have for one another. Mother Jennifer, Auntie, Granny Diane, Mother Carol, whoever, these are friends to me. These are women in my life that I can say have counseled me, or I can trust with counsel. Never would they endure vent. Never have I been tempted. Y'all understand the type of character you're supposed to have, my sisters? And I know that you can get there because I did. I have, and not that it's a stopping point either. But even just so you know, though I'm surrounded by many, many people, I'm not releasing strong emotions to them. It's me and Yah. It's me and Yah. All right, Mother Jennifer, go ahead.
I think it's very well said, Sister Ashley. It really takes a level of maturity, since we're on the subject of quote-unquote venting. It takes a level of maturity to really have that personal relationship with Yah. There's a lot that, you go through, you deal with. It's just you and the Father. It's just you and him, and it doesn't require you to go outside covenant and share your frustration or share other things, because you might cause someone else to stumble with your venting, if that makes sense. So, Sister Ashley, I remember, in answering the question, I remember years ago when I first came into the faith, I think I had been in the faith for about 3 to 4 years. And I remember we were talking about spiritual warfare. We would talk about deliverance a whole, whole lot. And I remember you saying, there was a spirit that you had been battling. And you said, I'm getting deliverance today for this particular spirit. And I've never sat in the chair. I've worked on fighting against the nature of this spirit. And now I know that my life is different, that my lifestyle is changed and my mind is changed, And now I know I'm ready to sit in the chair and not waste somebody's time. And that really stuck with me for the longest, you know, because you have some people who just don't get in the chair, but they don't do the work. But it made sense with what Sister Ashley had said, because, you know, she gave me counsel on how to make sure that you are really repenting and fighting against that spirit, fighting against the nature of that spirit. And then you know that you're ready to sit in the chair because you fought so hard to make sure that you're not carrying the nature of that spirit. So I just wanted to share that. Sister Ashley?
Very well, thank you. Good example. And a question that popped up, what does venting look like and how do we handle that with spiritual maturity? When you're behind the scenes and you have a connection and relationship with the Father, whether and he's sovereign, he's your judge, your friend, your comforter, your guide. He's your all in all. So you practice releasing to him. You know, that's what is repenting, releasing. Yes, Brother Steve, thank you. Repenting reminds him of the French word. He says pense, to think as in pensive, you know. So you're not releasing to other people. That's really, it's a behavior pattern that you begin to practice. You're not, you know, let me tell you. That's really what it looks like. Let me tell you this. It's the he said, she said. Let me tell you what I got going on. Not that we can't befriend each other, not that we can't conversate. It's all things in balance. It's like if it's a victimized mind that says, this has happened to me and I got to get it off my chest. And even if it's not using those words, still it's trapped inside of you, like I got to express it and I got to say it. And so when you practice releasing all things with the Father, from tears to emotions to praise, everything he's deserving and worthy of, you walk in that behavior. It becomes your nature. So when you're up against opposition or things that challenge you in your flesh, you're dead in those areas, you know. Or if your flesh rises, you still don't want the temptation to vent. But that's what spiritual maturity is, because you're not going to get to a place where your flesh is not alive, but you can definitely get to a place where the flesh doesn't dictate and the flesh doesn't control, you know, and it doesn't voice out and make you act out of character. What else? Yeah, the he said, she said. That's what I want. Oh, I'll give you an example. Okay, so I know we like examples, right? So I had a very interesting day. So if I was to call up Mother Jennifer, like, you are not going to believe this, boom, boom, boom. Like, is there something wrong with that? No. But is it necessary? No. So for real, let me share with y'all an example. And this is an example of sharing what happened in my day but not venting. Okay, I'm not venting because I'm not releasing a strong emotion that I just can't contain. Like, I got to get this off my chest. Okay, this is just legitimately conversation. Okay, I took a phone call from a sister who got in an argument. We've never heard from her before. She got in an argument with her husband today. She has two children, and she left him, and she's homeless, and she's on the street, and she's crying, and I can't hear from her. Like, I can't hardly even hear what you're saying. I'm trying to engage in listening. I'm not going to support your behavior. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. I'm not going to support your behavior. I'm not going to support the decision that you made, especially because, number one, I'm not in a authority to do that, to tell you that it's okay you left or that you need to go back. But I do know my place as the other person on the phone. I'm just listening. I'm just here for you to listen, right? Because what is she doing? She's venting. This happened, and I need somebody. She's, like, weeping on the phone, right? So I get a beep. Hey, hold on, I'm sorry, it's a ministry line, I'll be right back, I gotta answer this. So I click over. All right, I'm there, 15 seconds max, because I'm telling this person to hold just a moment, let me go back. Flip back to the lady that's in the streets, and she's gone. She's gone, she vented, she released everything to me, she didn't get any direction, she's gone, she hung up. Okay, so jump back to the other lady, what's going on? Well, married to a prophet, and all sorts of doctrinal questions about our ministry. But you're married to a prophet. But you need help from us. Right? So I didn't answer any of them. None of them. Because if you notice, a lot of people who have so much going on in their minds, even though they're asking questions, they'll also answer them themselves the way they want to answer them. That's what happened. So just let her talk for a little bit. All right, thanks for calling. That's how it went. You call here, you know we have answers, and you still didn't make yourself a bit. Oh, so here's my, I'm sitting at my table, right? And I'm finalizing just tabernacle planning, you know, me and Mother had finalized some things. I'm making changes, making connections. Of course, I connect with Sister Alex a lot, who types up all my spreadsheets. So I came specifically to sit down at the table and do that. But because I had the phone in my hand, because I had talked to Sister Alex only moments ago, I'm answering, boom, 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 answering back to back. So it's interesting. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's conversation for me to share that with each of you, right? It's just, hey, this is what's going on. This is what the day was like, you know, et cetera. I also talked to another sister who has forsaken fellowship and still wanted to come to the feast. These are back-to-back calls. I could go on the rest of the show. I won't. But you are wanting to come to the feast? Okay. So did the head of your assembly approve it? No, I'll forsake fellowship. I don't talk to him anymore. Okay, so two things are going to happen. I can give your name and number to Elder Becker, and he's going to require you to go through the head of your assembly, or you can just go back to the head of your assembly now and save elders time. What do you want to do? You know? So I had call after call. That was just a very, very interesting day. I don't have any reason to get on the show and vent, or, you know, run to my husband and vent. You just handle things. You go about your day. You praise the Most High, and you keep on pushing, you know. But I'm giving you that example because I want each of you to know that I'm not trying to bind your conversations one to another. I'm not trying to mislead you. I definitely want you to understand the strong emotion that's pushing you to say what you're saying to one another. Mother Jennifer.
Yes, and you know, venting is when, you know, like if Sister Ashley just talked about everything that took place in her day. Now, if she would have let all those things affect her in a negative way emotionally, and then she just spewed all that onto all of you, then that would be venting. But she's just stating facts. Okay, this is what happened today, and she's not affected by it at all. So one thing about, you know, sharing the things that you deal with or venting is you have to love the person that you are considering venting to. You have to love them more than the fact that you want to release that off of your chest, or, you know, just release whatever. And you have to get to the point where you release those things to Yah. You can't just think about yourself in those moments. You really have to think about the other person that you're considering going to. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Well said. No more emails, no phone calls, and I want to share two scriptures, and I'll ask you, Mother Jennifer, to wrap it up and end your thoughts or end the show. One of my verses, just a little personal tidbit about Sister Ashley, who some of you all have listened to for years on the show. One of the verses that scares me and really shakes me to my bones, I'll always say this same thing about this verse. It scares me to hear that the righteous shall scarcely see Yah. That's so fearful to me. That the righteous shall scarcely see Yah. Where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? You know, so that verse, let that bind your behavior. You know, get a couple of verses in your head cover. Can't say hat. But, you know, stick them in your head cover and really walk with them. Really walk with them. Another one that really really makes me, I just consider it, I guess. It's really compassionate, really considerate. Is the verses about let a man so account for us as ministers of Christ. Let a man account for you, each of you. Okay. So whether you're married or not, you have a shepherd or a leader. You have someone in this ministry that's going to actually instruct you, even if you are sitting yourself in front of a computer. And you're listening and you're receiving that instruction. Maybe you never shook his hand. Maybe you never were in at the conference or go where we go, but you're accepting this instruction, right? So you let a man so account for you as a minister of Christ and as a steward over you. And 1 Peter 4 says you obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. It's very fearful to me that they watch for your souls. We have such a short period of time, you know, in this life. And the fearful part about that verse is as that they give an account. They actually give an account. They give an account. They give an account. They give an account. Do you understand, my sister, that you're given an account? So when I say, you know, let no pride be found in you and, you know, submit yourselves one to another and obey them that have the rule over you and humble yourself to your husband and humble yourself to the mighty hand of Yah, you really do it with fear, quickly repenting, you know, not being quick to vent but quick to repent. And those that give an account, specifically, you know, my husband or my shepherd or and you name those in your life that you know would give an account for you, we don't understand the ins and outs of what happens in a man's heart when he has to give an account. You know, if you have a child, if you see clearly through your child, then you know whether that child is for you or not. I mean, it's pretty evident, right? Your love remains, but it's pretty evident. And so our shepherd, our leaders, our husbands, they do the same thing. They really, in their heart, they know that they know, you know, who's with them, who's for them, who's against them. And considering that person over you who gives an account for you is very fearful to me because the word says that they should do it with joy and not with grief, for that is, it's unprofitable for us. So it's unprofitable to me, unprofitable for you to have them be grieved, you know, ever. Not that it wouldn't happen, but ever, that's the goal. So I'll leave you with those thoughts as I walk out my journey to the kingdom, that the righteous shall scarcely see Yah, and that those that we obey to, that have the rule over us, give an account for our souls. So we strive to enter in because they're going to give a word for you. They're going to give, when you look that up, give an account. And because a lot of you, I know you don't understand pecking order, and I know you don't understand roles, and I know you're so caught up in how rejection feels that everybody's got a different role and you're stuck over here doing something else. But really, when a person gives an account, they give it by word, by speech, by motive, by a, what the word says, a tiding of utterance. So they actually would utter something to the Father about you. They would give an account to the Father for you, for your nature, how you respond, or the grief that you cause them, or the joy that you are. And I'm pretty sure if you've met our shepherds and our leaders, they know you, they know your heart, and they give an account for you. It's held in their heart and in their mind. You know, you're not going to fool them. So I pray that that motivates you not to be led by fear or any fear of man. But Yah does have his representatives here on this earth that we submit and surrender to. And obviously, Dry Bones Conference Dallas 2020, I mean, our shepherd goes with his leaders, with the security, and it moves heaven. Heaven testifies. Heaven testifies. Like, how are you going to fight and resist the instruction that you're given, or the voice that you're hearing, if heaven is testifying of the love that's being manifest? Hallelujah. All right. Thanks for listening in. Thank you all so much for your time and dedication to the Straightway Truth Ministries. Hallelujah. We hope to hear our shepherd tomorrow night. Bless you, Sister Rhonda, the first to tune in tonight. She says she always looks forward to fifth days. So thank you so much for the honor that you would love Yah in me. I salute you all, greet you, and shalom. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I think you ended the show perfectly with those words, and we just all need to reflect on it. So blessings and shalom.